You can open them too. Let's see. We'll start in John chapter 3. I'm not going to do any review because we got to get to some things. So the services from the last 2 weeks are online. And we're in a healing series. And tonight's an important night. So praise God. I was, I don't mean to set the stage, but you know, as I was thinking, I have to get this off my chest because it's tormenting me. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. And God does not give us a spirit of fear, right? Well, anytime I'm afraid of something, I like to tackle it head on because I just want to get rid of it. This has been tormenting me. For those of you that clean the church, now I'm not trying to be crude here. I'm trying to be serious, get this off my chest. For those of you that clean the church, first of all, thank you so much. But as you know, I have a bathroom in my office, and it is very important for me that you know that I'm not the only one that uses that bathroom, that I have a six-year-old son that also uses that bathroom. So just keep that in mind as you clean it, and you remember, this is pastor's office. What's going on in this bathroom? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Freedom has come to me. Now let's pray if we can. Oh, I feel like $1 million. Oh, the weight's off me. Thank you, Jesus. If I just came for that, I got delivered of something. Hallelujah. I'm serious now. That's not even supposed to be funny. I'm dead serious. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful, so grateful for all that you've given to us, all that you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for what we're about to receive tonight. Father, the incorruptible Word of God that has the ability to change our lives and set us free. You said, Jesus, if we would know the truth, we'd be set free. It's not enough that there's a truth. We have to know the truth and we have to work the truth. So we thank you truth comes to us tonight. We thank you for freedom. We thank you chains are broken off us tonight. And Father, we thank you for what's ahead for our lives. And Father, I just thank you so much that you're going to speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. That Father, I'm going to say something that's going to strike a chord with every person here. And Father, we're going to walk into more and we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to John 3 and verse 16. I don't know whether or not I should apologize for that revelation or pat myself on the back for that disclosure because, oh man, it's been on my mind bad. Glory to God. I'm not kidding. John 3:16. I'm glad you think it's funny. John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We love that verse, don't we?
Amen.
Thankful for that verse and praise God. You know, we as Christians, depending on how long you've been born again, or maybe even, you know, a lot of people have come from different backgrounds of, you know, denominations and such. You know, salvation in Christianity, that's our bread and butter, isn't it? The fact that we're born again, we get to go to heaven, we don't have to go to hell, that our sins can be forgiven. I mean, that's where it's at, right? I mean, that is the main course. Praise God. And we don't have problems. You know, we don't really consider ourselves a denomination. We're just a Bible church. But, you know, many denominations, they'll shout salvation from the rooftop, right? I mean, they are just all about salvation, and they should be, you know. They don't question it at all, whether or not Jesus died on the cross and the ease of it and how you accept him and different things like that. And they shout that. But, you know, the church that I grew up in fell short on the other things in the Bible. And you would have thought, where I grew up in, a lot of people that I know, her included, that grew up in, actually, I don't even know the place she grew up in really even taught salvation, but friends and family, you would wonder if they even had a clue that there was more than just salvation available to the Christian, because you never, ever heard about any of it. Praise God. And the problem is there's a 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. That's the problem. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, for all. Do you see that? For all the promises. Well, I'm not an English major, but I know the S on the end of the word promise means there's more than one. It's plural. I do know that. That there's more than one promise associated. And notice what it says. For all the promises of God. Now, if you go back to the verse before, it's talking about Jesus. So it says all the promises of God in him. Who's it talking about? In him. Talking about through Jesus. It says all the promises that we have through Jesus are yes and amen. So number one, we find out that there's more than one promise. Salvation is a promise, but that's not the only promise. We find out there's more than one promise, but we also find out that that the answer to those promises from God's point of view is yes. How about to bless you? That's why we say yes, Lord, because we need to agree with what he's saying. You know, it's not enough for God to say something. You have to agree with it. You know, a lot of people are living outside of what the Word of God says they can have, even though God has said it, because you got to agree to it. God doesn't force his promises onto you. That's why Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. He didn't say that because there's truth, you'll be set free. He said, no, you got to know it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so there's more to salvation. You know, Disney World offers guests the opportunity that are staying there for an extended time, something called a dining plan, which you can purchase. And there's different levels of dining plans that you can get. But, you know, one of the top levels of dining plans, or one of the close to the top levels of dining plans, they have three different services. They have table service, which means you sit down for a full meal. They have a quick meal service, which, you know, is like hamburgers, hot dogs, different things like that, sandwiches and stuff. But they also have snacks, and so like pretzels and nachos and, you know, ice cream and different things like that. And so when you purchase a dining plan at Disney World, one of those top dining plans, really the bread and butter of that dining plan are the table service meals, the sit-down meals, where the characters come and you sit in the big castles and things like that, and you get this wonderful food that comes out. That's kind of the bread and butter of it. But when you pay for the dining plan, you also get a certain amount of the quick service meals and a certain amount of the snacks. And the Disney dining plan is not cheap. And so when you pay for that, you know, you want to make sure that you take advantage of everything. And the first thing on your priority is to set up your reservations to make sure you hit those table service meals. Because if you were doing that monetarily with the food they serve and the meals, that would be the most expensive, and you want to take advantage of that. But what else you want to do is, when you pay that much money, what I've found and what I've heard people say is, you will make sure that if you're not hungry, you are going to eat every single thing on that plan because it's already paid for, right? Even if you don't want a pretzel, I'm going to have a pretzel, right? If I got to get these quick service, or if I got to get these snacks and I got to eat, you know, a certain amount, they try to make it so it evens out for you for your meals. But, you know, you wouldn't want to leave all your quick service meals or your snacks left undone because you paid for those. It would have been better to not pay for it and just pay. But if you pay for the package, yeah, the table service meals are the best. Yeah, when Jesus died on the cross, salvation was the best. Yeah. But there's other promises that fall. Yeah. I don't even want to say lesser because it almost makes it sound like what Jesus did wasn't important. But I mean, in terms of salvation's the best, right? I mean, you get to go to heaven with salvation and get your sins forgiven. But there's healing. There's prosperity, there's joy, there's victory, there's answers, there's peace of mind, there's favor, there's all sorts of different things that come with it. And so with the price that was paid for salvation, we don't want to leave it on the sidelines.
That's right.
Amen? We don't want to leave it. Same with Jesus as the dining plan, man. We got to scramble to get these promises in our life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So go with me now to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. So we're starting there. So in Jesus, the promises are yes and amen. Romans 5 and verse 12. Praise God. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. How did sin enter into the world? Through Adam and Eve. It was never here before until they partook of it. It says, one man's sin entered, and death by the sin that entered. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, let me ask you a question, because we know we shout Jesus from the rooftops. What is the remedy to sin? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the remedy to sin, right?
Amen.
That's why I tell you, no matter what you've done, doesn't matter. Jesus can fix it.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is the remedy for that. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. But what you have to understand is that the remedy to sin, that the only reason sickness is here, is because of sin.
Right.
The root of all sickness started with sin. God never intended for people to be sick. God never intended for people to die. He intended for people to live forever on the earth. We see that in the Bible with early on. People lived hundreds and hundreds of years. But once sin set in and sickness and disease set in, lifespan started getting shorter and shorter. Look, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Well, sin entered, but what else? And death. See that? And death. First was sin, death followed. Well, If Jesus is the remedy to sin, what do you think is the remedy to sickness, since they come from the same exact place? Jesus. Jesus is the remedy to sin, but he's also the remedy to sickness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because sin and sickness came from the same place. So they have the same. Listen, Jesus is if sin was first, it's signifying that it was the most important, the biggest thing that came on the scene. If Jesus can handle sin, he can handle sickness. But see, a lot of people don't know that Jesus can handle sickness. A lot of people don't know that in Jesus, sickness is taken care of. We know salvation's taken care of, but we don't realize fully that our sickness is taken care of. Go with me to John chapter 2 and verse 1. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Well, I lied. I was like, that don't seem right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. I like to keep Sue working back there, you know, and just getting her fingers going on that thing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that if you sin, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Aren't you glad? He's the remedy. He's the remedy. But then look what it says in verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word there means substitute, sacrifice. He's the payment. He was the appeasement for sin, Jesus was. He was actually the word that is most recognized there in the Greek is atonement. That word atonement means same thing, sacrifice. He was the substitute. He was the appeasement. He was what took the place and appeased the wrath of God. And so the Bible says that Jesus, that word, I can't even say that word right now. I don't know what's going on, but that word right there is the word atonement. The Bible says Jesus was our atonement. Well, this is what you have to understand. It kind of piggybacks off of last week, but we didn't really look at it because we're talking about healing through Jesus tonight, okay? Just like salvation comes through Jesus, healing comes through Jesus. There was atonement in the Old Testament for sin, atoning for your sin, but it also included sickness and disease. Well, what do we know about the Old Testament? Whatever they had, we can have. Amen. And more, right? Well, I want to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It's important that you see this for you wannabe Bible students out there and people that want to be scholars of the Bible. It's important you know something about the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. We're just kind of navigating through some things here. We'll take off in a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11, it says, now all these things, now if you go back to the beginning of that, it's talking about the people of the Old Testament times. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, or the word examples. That word example there in the Greek is the word type. The Old Testament is a lot of types and shadows of what's to come in the New Testament. It says that all these things happened for our examples. So we can look at things in the Old Testament and know that they're there for our example and for our learning. Well, go with me to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. Praise God. See, you don't question your salvation. You know Jesus died on the cross for it. You're sold out to the fact that if today were your last day on planet Earth, you would go to heaven. You know that. Like, you're sold out on that fact. You're convinced. No. I mean, Billy Graham could walk through the doors and tell you, you know what, I don't believe you're saved. You say, Mr. Graham, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Right? That's you're convinced. Right. That's right. You're convinced. Well, are you just as convinced that you're healed through Jesus as saved through Jesus? That's what we need to get you to. Exodus 12, verse 1. So the Bible says Jesus is our atonement. Now look at Exodus 12 and verse 1. Remember, anything in the Old Testament is for our types and shadows. It said, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be you the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household is too little for the lamb, let him take his neighbor next to his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating, you shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb, now notice this. your lamb shall be without blemish. Who does that sound like? Jesus was the spotless lamb slain before the foundations of the world. A male lamb sounds like Jesus. Of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood. What does this sound like? It's a type and shadow of Jesus' death. Shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. Talk about eating the lamb after they kill it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Now, this is called the Passover lamb. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
And in verse 12, let's see, go to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice this. And the plague shall not be upon you. Well, Jesus, or the Bible says that this was a Passover lamb, that when the lamb was slain and the blood was shed, it was used to keep the plague off the people. Well, you'll be excited about this next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. That's what the power of the Passover lamb in the Old Testament had, that no plague would come on them. Well, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says this. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Did you know you're a lump? Praise the Lord. As you are unleavened, for even Christ is our Passover. Sacrifice for us. See, they got a Passover back then. We get a Passover now. But what did the Passover do? Kept them free from the plague. Excuse me. Amen. Do you see that? Why? Because in the Old Testament, it was a type and shadow. Jesus was the lamb without blemish, the male lamb slain. The blood was slain. Why? Now we can walk into victory. Not just salvation, but healing, praise God. No plague comes near our dwelling. Hallelujah. Now go to Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 18. Leviticus 14. See, this is stuff people need to get inside them. Leviticus 14. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. The biggest and best Bible scholar in the world could come try to talk you out of your salvation. You'd fight him tooth and nail.
Yeah. Amen.
But when the devil comes and starts to question you about your healing, what do? Do we fight him tooth and nail? Say, oh no, devil, I'm healed. The Passover lamb, you know, it's a package deal, devil. You know, I go up to Disney with my little card, you know, and I go up there and say, I want a pretzel. Nope, you don't get a pretzel. Yes, I do. My card says I get one. Give me a pretzel. Praise God.
Amen.
The devil says, no, you can't have your healing, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. No, I can't because Jesus purchased it for me. It's part of the package deal. It's part of the package deal. Leviticus 14 and verse 18 says, in the remnant of oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, talking about a leper who has sickness. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see about the atonement. He's talking about the healed lepers. In the atonement for the lepers included two things. Sins being forgiven, but healing being taken away and being cleansed. In the atonement. Hallelujah. Well, good news. What did the Bible say in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2? Jesus is our atonement. Why would they in the Old Testament get to be atoned for, which included two things, salvation of their sins and healing in their body? Why would they get atonement, but we wouldn't get atonement? Or what the whole thing that atonement encompasses, which is healing in our bodies and forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. He's good to us. Hallelujah. And then last week, you know, just real quick, we saw the serpent lifted up on the pole. If any man look at the serpent lifted up on the pole, they'll live. Well, any man looks at Jesus, the Bible says if you'll discern the body of Jesus, you'll walk into health and healing, understanding what he has for you. Praise God. But ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what you have. It matters that you know what you have. It doesn't matter that you, you know, I took my friend out to lunch that day, told him I was going to pay. You know, if you tell somebody you're going to take them out, you ought to pay for them. Yeah, amen. And I said I was going to pay, and I told him I'd take off lunch, went to the restaurant, realized they don't take credit cards. Well, I only carry credit cards usually. So I sheepishly asked him, you know, can you pay for this? I'll pay you back. And, of course, he said yes. Well, when I got to my vehicle, I realized in my center console of my truck, underneath some receipts, I had cash. I could have paid for that. But see, it didn't matter that I had that money to my name, because I didn't know I had the money to my name, and so therefore I didn't have the money to use the money. Doesn't matter that Jesus paid for your healing. If you don't know that Jesus paid for your healing, you won't walk into healing. You'll let the devil, you let the world, you let symptoms. Oh, that's one you really need to hear. You'll let symptoms talk you out of your healing. Because your symptoms will be so real, you'll let doctor's reports talk you out of your healing if you don't know your healing. You'll let Google and Wikipedia and all, you know, friends and family, you'll let them talk you out of your healing if you don't know your healing. Yeah. Amen. You will. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. I am just chomping at the bit to tell you about what's coming at the end of this service. I am excited because I was sitting in my office today and something that has been stirring in me for over 6 years finally dropped in me, and now we can go forward. Praise God. And so I will share that with you at the end of service. And this all plays a part in it. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, talking about Jesus, says, surely he, Jesus, this is, Isaiah was the redemptive prophet, you know, the messianic prophet. He prophesied a lot about Jesus. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now go back to verse 4, please. You have to understand something about verse 4, because if you don't understand something about verse 4, this won't mean very much to you. In verse 4, you see the word, surely he has borne our number one griefs, number two sorrows. Those words in this verse have been incorrectly translated as griefs and sorrows. Let me explain why to you. Let me get a little scholarly on you here, if I can. The word griefs here in the Hebrew, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, is pronounced like hali, something like that. But that's the way it's kind of spelled, whether it's pronounced exactly like that, but that's what it is in the Hebrew. The word sorrows in there is translated the word makab or makab, however you'd want to pronounce that. That's the Hebrew word that was in the text. Well, everywhere else through the Old Testament, when the scholars came across that word, they knew what those words meant, and it wasn't griefs and sorrows. If you look up a whole bunch of different texts, in fact, let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15, I'll show you, because that word halai or in macabre, they were not translated griefs and sorrows. They were translated sickness, disease, and then macabre or makab was translated pain everywhere else in the Old Testament. But for some reason, when they came across this word here, they translated it griefs and sorrows. Well, look at Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15. Praise God. I'm going to wait till it gets up there because I don't want to flip around here. Although sometimes our computer freezes, so maybe. Verse 15. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. And the Lord will take away from you all, what's that word? Sickness. But you know what that word is in the Hebrew? And you can find this in a bunch of different places. It's that word halai or haloi. That's what that word is. But there they translated it. And then the word, none of the evil diseases. Well, you'll find that all throughout the Old Testament, but for some reason in this one, they translated it griefs. Go with me to Job chapter 33 and verse 19. Job 33 and verse 19, talking about the word makab, which they translated sorrows. It's important for you to know this. Bear with me here. Job 33 in verse 19, he is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones are in strong pain. Do you see that there? Well, that word in the Hebrew is the word makab or makab, the same word in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 that they translated sorrows. Well, I don't know why they did that, but they shouldn't have. Now, Sue, would you please go back to, I know I'm making you jump around a lot, but Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now that we know that, and actually I'm going to show you in a second without even getting scholarly, how the Bible proves that out itself. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now, this is why this means more to us.
Amen.
Because in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it should read this. Surely he has borne our sickness and disease and carried our pains.
Amen.
That's what it should say.
Hallelujah.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Why are we healed? Because he bore our sickness, our disease, and our pains. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you see that there? That's why that matters. Praise his name forevermore.
Amen.
So the Bible says that Jesus Christ, well, when did he bear these? Well, he wasn't sick on the earth. On the cross he bore them. That's why it says, with his stripes we are healed. The stripes were what came upon his body. But don't take my word for it. Let's take the Bible's word for it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Surely he has borne our sickness and our disease and carried our pains. Thank God. Thank God. But this is what I want you to see in Matthew 8 and verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and, everybody say and. And healed all. That's Jesus' goal. That's God's goal. That's God's will to heal all.
Amen.
Don't get caught up, well, I'm not sure if God wants to heal me or is God okay or I just have to live with this. No. God's will is that all would be healed. You're his child. If I have one child, I want that child to be healed. If I have two children, I want them both to be healed. If I have three children, I want them both to be healed. If I have a family, a baseball team of 9 kids, I want them all healed.
Amen.
If I have a 54-man football team roster for kids, I want every single one of them healed.
Right.
Every single one of them, praise God. Well, God's the same way. He's got millions upon millions of children. He wants every single one of them healed from head to toe.
Amen.
Every single one of them. Hallelujah. Healed all that were sick. Verse 17, now get this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Well, who did we just look at? Isaiah the prophet. Well, what did Isaiah the prophet say? Surely he has borne our sickness and our pains, our sickness and disease, and carried our pains. Now, if you're somebody that wonders, well, Pastor Mike, maybe you're fooling me. Maybe it really, I see in my Bible it says griefs and sorrows. Well, yeah, but we just proved it to you. That's supposed to be sickness, disease, and pains. But don't take my word for it. Take the word of Matthew, who was inspired by the Holy Ghost, who said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So evidently, he knew something that Isaiah had said. Of course he knew the Old Testament. He knew what Isaiah had said. Well, what did Isaiah say? Isaiah the prophet said, he himself took our sorrows and our griefs. No, because he knew that's not what the Old Testament said. Praise God. He knew that when Isaiah said it and wrote it down in the original Hebrew, that it said, he himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
So my point is, where did Jesus take your sin? Where did Jesus acquire the sin of your life? On the cross. Where do you think Jesus, that's where he bought and paid for your sin, was on the cross. Where do you think he bought and paid for your healing? On the cross.
Amen.
He atoned for your salvation through sins on the cross by the shedding of his blood. Well, what does atonement include? Forgiveness of sins, and healing in your body.
Amen.
He bore our sickness and disease and carried our pains. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to get sold out to and renew our minds to is that just as much as salvation is available to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, healing in our bodies is available to us.
Amen.
Just as much as salvation is. Praise God. Go with me to Isaiah 53 and verse 10. I believe that's where I want to go. Let me double check that. I don't know if the translators, like so many religious people, got so tripped up. So many people don't believe healing's for you. So many people don't believe healing's for you. That when you get to heaven, that's when the healing will come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're the body of Christ. We're meant to go out and do the works of Jesus. A sick church is an ineffective church.
That's right.
Yeah. Sick church is an ineffective church. We're not going to be sick, praise God.
Amen.
I've just made up my mind I'm not going to be sick.
Right.
You say, Pastor, that's pretty bold. You sure you can do that? Well, that's what Jesus said I can have, so I just agree. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Amen.
You say healing, I say yes. Praise
that's
God.
Right.
You say prosperity, I say yes.
Yes.
You say long life, I say yes. You say peace, I say yes. You say victory, sure.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. I agree with him. I agree with him.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 53 and verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. We know that word's not grief. Put him to sickness. Yeah. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin and seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Listen to what the Rotherham's translation says. It says, he laid on him sickness. Yeah, he did. On the cross, Jesus took it, praise God. He himself bore our infirmities and our sickness. Where? On the tree. It wasn't on the earth.
Right.
On the tree. Listen to what, this is a scholar, Isaac Leeser's his name. He has a Hebrew English Bible, very acquainted with the Hebrew. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he says, he was despised and shunned by men, a man of pains, acquainted with disease. Notice verse 4, he says, but only our disease did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. And through his bruises was healing granted to us, verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him through disease.
Wow.
Yeah. He was crushed on the cross for our disease so we wouldn't have to take it, praise God. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, notice this, says, surely he has borne. That word born is the Hebrew word nasa, or nasa, however they pronounce it. It says to take away. Surely he has taken away upon himself our sickness, disease, and our pains. He took them and carried them away, praise God. He took them and carried them away. He put them upon himself, praise God, so you wouldn't have to have them. I can't see any better picture of this than Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Praise God. I don't see any better picture than him bearing this. I was talking to someone recently who said they would like a different job. And the reason is their job is very strenuous, very hard manual labor, a lot of heavy lifting, and it's starting to show up on their body. See, when you carry certain things for a long time, or the more strenuous, you know, even if we were to all say, let's go to somebody's house and let's move, and they have some really heavy furniture, and you're carrying that, it's going to show up in your body later that day, the next day, you're going to feel it, you're going to be moving a little slower, you're going to have pain. Well, the same way, when sickness was laid upon Jesus, by the picture of what we have of him on the cross, we can see that was absolutely true. It's horrendous and horrific, but it needs to be pointed out. It says in Isaiah 52 and verse 14 about Jesus, and many were astonished at thee. His visage, which means his appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now that's a little blind to us in the King James, but let me read that verse in the Amplified. And you can pull up the Amplified if you want to, and then I have a couple other translations. Now listen to this. Now remember, the Bible says, he himself took our sickness and our disease and bore that in himself on the cross. Well, think about sickness and disease. That would be tuberculosis. That would be cancer. That would be AIDS. That would be any type of flesh-eating bacteria. It would be anything that's ever been given a name and discovered, and anything that is yet to be discovered and doesn't have a name. Every bit of sickness was placed on him. Well, just like if you lift heavy furniture or lift something heavy, it's going to show up. What would you think your body would look like if in an instant every single bit of sickness and disease from the beginning till the end of mankind was laid on your body and you have a human body? I don't think you'd handle it too well. I don't think you'd hold up too well. Well, let's see how well he held up in the Amplified. It says, for many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Jesus on the cross became like a horror film. I'm bad when it comes to horror films, man. I'm telling you, I got the covers over my head. I'm peeking out of the pillow. I don't like seeing that stuff. That's what Jesus became on the cross. Many were astonished at him. Why? They had never seen a person look that way before. Because nobody had ever been sick with all the sickness of every disease in a moment's time. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men, but just as many were astonished at him. Listen to what the NIV says. Just as there were many who were appalled at him. Well, you would have been. It would have looked horrible. Man, I get chills thinking about what Jesus went through. My God. If you're not in love with him, tonight may better make you in love with him.
Amen.
Price that he paid, my goodness. His appearance, the NIV says, was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. And his form marred beyond human likeness. That's why it said that his form was more than the sons of men. He didn't look human anymore. You actually would, unless if you would have came to the crucifixion that day, not knowing what they put on the cross, you would have said, what's that? That's what it says. Couldn't even recognize his form. Like, what in the world is up there? I mean, I see the guys next to him. Those look like human beings, but what's in the middle? You'd only know it was him because you were there to see him get put up on that thing. But that's what happened. Well, it would have with all the sickness and disease. I mean, every stage of cancer would have been put on him. Every stage of every disease would have been placed on him. Why? Because if it wasn't, then everybody in the world wouldn't have an opportunity to get free from it. Because it only comes through him. Listen to what the Message Bible says. Let's just drill this point home even more. But he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face disfigured past recognition. Whew. Jesus. Let's just close our eyes. Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. We just praise you. We honor you tonight, Jesus. You did this for us. Now, we're not done yet, but we're going to honor him right now. I can't read these without praising him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we have no idea. We have no idea what you went through. And you weren't forced by Dad to do it. You laid down your life for us. No wonder you were sweating blood in the garden. You knew what was coming. You knew what was coming. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. We could never thank you enough for what you did for us on that cross. Forgive us for our times of ungratefulness and lack of gratitude. You deserve to be praised. You deserve to be recognized daily, hourly. Father, your son deserves recognition. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you tonight. We bless you. Hallelujah. So we see, praise God, that on the cross, it was placed on him. Your sickness and disease, he carried it, so by his stripes, you are healed. Well, then you might have the question, because my logical brain, I think it's logical at times, sometimes I don't think it's very logical, but the logic I think I have in my brain now would ask, then why are people sick? Well, just like any promise, why aren't people walking into the fullness of promise? They don't know. They haven't used their faith for it. Listen, I wish that I could pray every sickness away. I wish I could confess every disease away from every person. But the problem is people have a part to play in it.
Amen.
And your part is always faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. But what's of the world? Sickness is of the world. Sickness is not of heaven. But what's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. You got to have faith for healing. You got to have faith in the healer. You can't just expect somebody to do it for you. You can't just hope that it'll go away and twiddle your thumbs and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and hope that it... No, no. Use your faith. Get your faith and walk into this stuff.
Amen.
Praise God. And the Bible says that it was placed on him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we'll close with this. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Now I'm going to correct some ways people talk around here. And I've been having to correct myself too. Matthew 8:17 says, it might be Phil, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself. Everybody say himself.
Himself.
Now everybody say took.
So.
Himself took. So guess what? It means you don't have to.
Praise God.
You don't have to take it. So in order to walk into the healing that God has for you, what you have claimed as your own, my whatever, I have this, I have that. Well, you only have it because you've decided to take ownership of it.
Wow, that's right. Come on.
Why? Because you haven't by faith seen it on him.
Yeah. Wow. That's good.
You say, yeah, but in my body it's on me. In my symptoms it's on me. I know, but we're not talking. The eye of faith is not a natural eye. The eye of faith sees past the natural and sees into what the Word says you can have. And the Word says, by His stripes you were healed. In His eyes, you were healed 2,000 years ago. You're not healed when the doctor's report looks better. You're not healed when everything lines up. You're healed 2,000 years ago, but you have failed to see that healing on Him. You continue to see the doctor's report and you take what I have. The eye of faith always sees through. God called Abraham a daddy when he was 100 years old before he even had a child. God saw past the natural and saw into His Word. Just like God calls you healed and see, oh, I have that. Keep saying that and you'll keep having it. He took it. You might have the symptoms of it. But by God, why don't you start saying, this is what's on my body, but I'm healed in the name of Jesus, and it will manifest. That's the voice of faith. You're not denying the circumstances. You're not denying the symptoms, right? That'd be stupid to do that. But you're also not taking ownership of something He already said, I took it for you. Stop taking it back. Stop climbing up that cross and saying, no, I'll take that back, Jesus. No, He already took it. You got to see it on Him. Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to see what's on your body in the natural on Him on the cross. I remember Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy's husband, who's with Jesus. When he got saved, he got excited about God, got into the church, just wanted to serve. They were taking up communion. He didn't know what communion was for. He said, Lord, what is this communion all about? He said, all of a sudden, in the top of the sanctuary, it opened up and he saw Jesus on the cross. And all of a sudden, he said, through the air, he saw words flying, and the words would hit Jesus. And when they'd hit Jesus, it would jar his body. Well, he started to read the words, tuberculosis, AIDS, cancer. He saw what Isaiah saw. See, Isaiah didn't see naturally Jesus take our sickness, but in the Spirit, he did. In the Spirit, Isaiah saw to the day of Calvary and saw not only is he dying for the people's sins, I see every sickness being laid upon that man. And Dr. Dufresne saw it, but you need to see it. You need to see it. Doesn't mean you have to have a vision. Just look at the Word.
Yeah.
Renew your mind to the Word. You'll see it.
Yeah.
Stop taking ownership of stuff. Stop saying, I have this, I have that. No, Jesus took it for me. My body might be saying I have that, but I don't walk by my body. I walk by faith.
Amen.
You choose which realm you want to live in. Say, no, that's crazy. No, that's Bible.
Yeah.
That's how our God does things. He doesn't think like you think. He calls things that be not as though they are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He calls it the way it should be, not the way it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So, your salvation, not only your Jesus on the cross, not only includes your salvation, it includes your healing just as much. Even though salvation's better, even though the sit-down dinners are better, the pretzels still belong to me just as much as the steak or the lobster or whatever you want to eat at those nice meals. The turkey sandwich or they have those big turkey legs at Disney. You know, I was walking down there and I saw people eating those turkey legs. I thought, my God, that has to be the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I got one of those things. It was the biggest disappointment ever. It was rubbery. It wasn't good at all. I was like, what in the world? That's not. I don't want that thing. I hardly ate any of it. I was so mad, but it belonged to me. Just as much as the steak dinner did. Yeah, just as much as the filet mignon belongs to me at the dining hall. So does the other stuff, you know, the chocolate milk that I can get on my dining plan, the juice box or whatever, just belongs to me just as much. Healing belongs to me just as much as salvation does.
Amen.
And you need to get so staunch in that you just fight the devil back.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we're so thankful. So grateful for the Word tonight. Jesus, we love You. We praise You and magnify You. We glorify You and we honor You. We bless You. And we thank You. We are so excited about what You're doing for us, Father. We're so grateful for what You've done for us through Jesus on the cross. If I could ask real quick, if everybody could bow their heads and close their eyes. We're almost done here. Please, nobody looking around. Salvation is great, healing is great, but salvation is better in the sense that that came first and it gets us into heaven, it gets us right with God. Healing came after. So if you're here tonight, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer is, I'm not sure, then you can be sure to walk out of here, because the Bible says if you just receive Jesus, you'll go to heaven. You say, how do I receive Jesus? Just believe he died on the cross and rose again. Accept him into your heart. I don't know everybody here. That's why we're giving people an opportunity. Nobody's looking around. But if you're here and you can say, Pastor, you know, I've been a good person. That doesn't get you in, by the way. I've gone to church. That doesn't get you in. I've been too bad. That doesn't keep you out. The only thing that keeps you out or keeps you in is what you do with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Nobody's looking. Would you just raise your hand if you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure I've ever accepted Jesus as my Savior. Nobody's looking. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Put your hand high in the air. Anybody at all? Never done it? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust we're all born again. But by chance, if somebody's listening online or in the future, and they've never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would not pass from this life until they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, I thank you that they walk into all that you have for them. And if you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your heart, confessed him as Lord and Savior, get into a Bible-teaching church. Get a hold of us. We'll get you hooked up in a good place. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Let's bless them tonight. Just give them praise. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. And I feel led to say this, and it applies to more than one person in here. It applies to all of us, really. Healing's conditional. Yes, Jesus paid for it, but it's conditional to get it and to keep it in doing the right thing. And what comes up out of my heart is you need to be planted somewhere. In a Bible teaching church, you need to hear the word of God. And you need to use faith for it. Amen?
Amen.
It's like anything. So remember that there's a God side and a man side. God has his part. We have our part. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You can look up here. Now, praise God if you do need to leave or whatever. This is going to take just a short time. This exciting announcement that I have, the fruition, I guess, of at least being able to go forward with it happened this afternoon in my office. It just hit me. That's the way a lot of things do with God. That's why I'm always trying to keep my antenna and radar open, because he can speak to you anytime.
Right.
He's wonderful like that. Praise God.
Praise God.
When I started this church, really, 7 years ago, because there was a whole year of speaking and looking and spying out the land and praying. But when this first service started 6 years ago this past Sunday, you know, I met with my pastor early on, and I told him, you know, Pastor, I already have some things in my heart concerning this area. And you know, a lot of people have criticized me. You wouldn't even believe it. I criticize me because we don't have a youth group. Criticize me because we don't do community outreaches and things. Well, I've learned I only do what Jesus says to do.
Amen.
And people have yet to get the revelation that I show up here faithfully twice a week and preach the word. That's a blessing to this community.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is the best thing that's ever happened to South Dayton, New York. And I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying me. I'm saying this church is the best thing that's ever happened to South Dayton. But people don't have a revelation. They would rather see you do little fun fairs, or they'd rather see you, you know, have different groups. And I'm not against those if Jesus authors them.
Right.
I've done a whole lot in my life that was not backed by him, that fell flat on its face, that cost me money and time because I thought it was a good idea, and it had no grace on it because it wasn't from the Master.
That's right.
So I had one person sit with me in my office over, well, it would have been in the storefront. Said, two people sat there and said, you're my pastor, I'll never leave you. I said, okay, well, watch out, because the devil will come and try to pull you away. Well, they called me one day trying to figure out why we haven't done more for the youth in this area. Why we haven't done more for, why do we don't have a youth group? I said, well, Jesus didn't tell me to start a youth group. If you want to start a youth group, you go start your own church and have your own youth group. Right? I mean, people can be very critical at times. But I don't give a rip. I'm just bound by what he says. But anyways, with that being said, I told Pastor Michael these things. Well, there's things on my heart I haven't been able to do because I've never got the green light on them.
Sure.
Well, I got a green light today.
Praise God.
I didn't know exactly how it would be, but years ago, the Lord put it on my heart, and it goes along with the signs, wonders, and miracles, that we would have special meetings where the sick would gather and the sick would be healed in multitudes here. And this afternoon, it came on my heart that we are to have a healing crusade in this church.
Amen.
for this area. And let me explain some of the that's the words that came up, healing crusade. But you guys are going to have to realize you have a major part to play in this, and I'm going to be announcing this, because I don't have the when, but I'm starting to get the what we're going to do. And basically what it's going to be is through a wave of bold promotion and advertising, we're going to let people know, bring your sick here for these meetings. And they will be a multi-day event where it's it'll be evenings, but it'll be a Monday through a Thursday or a Friday. I know that already in my heart. And every night we'll be teaching on healing, but in the advertising, which will be flyers, newspaper, which will be cards to hand out, telling people, and they'll be bold on them. It's going to let people know exactly what they need to do to get healed, which is going to be this. You come to every meeting. At the end of the service, I'll lay hands on you at the end of the last night, and you'll get your healing. Because I need a whole week to teach them to get their faith level up, and to lay hands on them, and boom, they can get it. Praise God. And so I'm seeking God on the when. He's telling me the how, and that we can go ahead and do this, and it's been in there stirring, but I've just been waiting patiently. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, I have Thursdays, Fridays, and Mondays. I could go start a church somewhere. And you know, people would come because the word will get preached. But if it's not God, it's not going to prosper. It's not going to thrive. Even though it seems like a good thing. Youth groups seem like a good thing to do. Fun fairs and community outreaches and different groups in the church seem like a good thing to do. But if Jesus isn't backing it,
that's right.
Whatever. And I wanted to do this healing thing for so long, but I never had a green light till today. But I want to tell you your part. Now, this is where you need to pay attention. Get confessing that it's fruitful and that many people will come and be set free during those meetings. So be confessing that it's fruitful and that many people come and be healed and set free in that week of meetings, whenever it is. Now, you ready for the next part? I'm glad I'm seeing people writing this stuff down. If you're not, you know, you put it in the back of your mind or get it back online and look at this. This is your Garden of Gethsemane moment. What do I mean? That was when Jesus consecrated himself. Consecrate yourself to your part in this. Now, Jesus knew what his part was, so he was able to consecrate. But I'm going to tell you what your part is in this, because I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean this to be mean or hurtful. If you don't do your part, I won't do this thing. I can't do this by myself. There's no way a church can run effectively just by one man alone. Absolutely not. So we need you to consecrate because God wants to do great things. So here's what you need to consecrate. Now, here's an example. I'm going to have nice, professional-looking invite cards printed up. On there, it'll tell people exactly what's going to happen and that they're going to get their healing if they'll follow us. We're going to be bold with this. The devil's bold. We're going to be bold. Our Jesus is a healer. And so your part is going to be to hand those out to friends, to family, to coworkers, to people you run into that you know are hurting in their body. But when you do it, that's why I said the bold advertising and the bold promoting, you're not just going to say, here's this card. No, you're going to give them this card and say, this is your answer. I just want you to know this is your answer. That church is your answer. There's someone anointed down at that place that can get you into your healing. That's your part. Because if you just hand somebody a card, but if you say, I just want you to know, this is your time. This is your time. Praise God. Give it to them. So that's your part, number one. Giving those out, telling people about them, promoting it. But also, to consecrate yourself to the coming of those services that week. Not just, well, I'll pick one night. No. We need to be all in. Why? We need people in the seats. We need people serving in nursery. We need people greeting and doing different things. We need people here releasing their faith. We need people joining with other people. We need an energy. We can't have a bunch of people come in off the streets that don't know anything about God or know little about God, and then the faith level of the meeting is low. No. We got to come together and make this go right through the roof. So you consecrate yourself. What does that mean? That might mean you have to come to a Monday through Friday service from 7 o'clock to 9. But you know what? Oh, well. It's for the greater good, amen? Amen. It's to get people healed and born, and people get born again in this too. Praise God. To fill seats, to greet and serve, and then the last thing is to do whatever's needed.
That's right.
I mean, this is something that God's, this is, No other family church has ever done this. Now, I don't know if another pastor has it on their heart to do this. I don't know, but I know it's on my heart. We're going to have a healing crusade. We're going to invite the sick. We're going to tell the other churches, invite the sick. And we're going to put the old miracle mic word to the test. Praise God. We're going to put the pressure on the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will be having a sign-up sheet for people to say I'm on board with this, and I will hold you to it. And if people don't respond, I won't do this thing. And you know what? When I stand before Jesus, I will not be the one being criticized because he knows I'm all on board. I'm in. Because God has to be ready. The ministry has to be ready. But if the people aren't ready, the plan of God doesn't go forward.
Right.
So as I seek God, I'll be seeking for the right time on this. I don't know if it'll even be in 2016. Whatever he says, I just know now we're supposed to start prepping for this thing. And this is the night where you start to get your heart ready for this.
Amen.
Right? Because let's face it, there's groups of meetings. People might come once in a while, but this is in our church. We're doing this. We need to be here. We need to serve. We need to have our faith. We need to be handing things out. I'm telling you, this is going to be awesome. If you do your part. I'm going to be ready. God's going to be ready. But are you going to be ready? I believe you are. I believe you are. I mean that. I believe I have the best church in the whole wide world. I mean that. We'll get Olean on board. Praise God. And we'll bring the healing message. Why? Because the Bible says he confirms the word with signs following. Why did Jesus turn on so many people back then? Because signs and wonders were evident. How are we going to turn people onto this place, force us to have two services and build somewhere else, or I don't know, build up or out, or not sure. But how are we going to do that when people start seeing the signs and the wonders? Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for the word that was given today, Father. We're going full force on it. We're so thankful and so grateful for what you're doing, for what you've given to us. And it'll all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. Father, this will be a place for the sick to come. This will be a place for the hurting to come. We say the power for the incurables flows through me and in this place and into people. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank you for healings. We thank you, Father, for salvations. Father, we thank you that your hand is upon this. And Father, we'll cooperate. We'll consecrate ourselves to the greater good. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I will be announcing it at our services coming up to get people prepared to keep it before you. The Bible says unless there's a vision, the people perish. Unless I keep it before you, you won't be as hungry for it and as excited about it. And I'm just going to keep seeking him on the time, and then we'll have it. So thank you for coming out. Sure love and appreciate all of you. Don't forget this Sunday, 10 o'clock, you're dismissed. No sweeter name than the name.